want to start off with a note of Hakara Zatov. For those that are here or those that are not here, those that are represented, however it might be, for the Chanukah gelt I received last week, counted on my standard one morning. I was not expecting anything like that, and it's not expected to happen again, but very much appreciated. Appreciated both the Chanukah gelt and the message that what we're doing over here is appreciated as being a worthwhile thing, which I really think it is. Baruch Hashem. So recently a Medrash, don't bring it in with me now. That an Ayev gives to the one that is Ayev, that which he is Ayev most. That which is dear to me, I give to the person that's who's dear to me. So Kadosh Baruch Hu is Ayev Es Yisrael, it brings a Pasuk. And Kadosh Baruch Hu is Ayev Mishpat, that brings a Pasuk. Melech Ayev Tzadko Mishpat. It's the only time that we use that word that in the Melech. Rovei Chilam Yisrael say Ayev to make refuah. But Ayev Tzadko Mishpat. There is Ava that Kadosh Baruch has for Mishpat. So Kadosh Baruch Hu is Ayev Yisrael, it's Ayev Mishpat. And he says, therefore I give you my matana, my Mishpat, to my one that Yisrael, that's my Ayev. And if you shamer that, and you do that properly, with that I bring you gulas and yeshuas, all kinds of wonderful things. I didn't bring the medrash, I didn't prepare to say, but it's taka davar chashuv, and I appreciate that it's appreciated. Yashar keach to everyone. We made a beginning in sugya that I'm not yet sure how far it's going to lead us. But we made a beginning last week in the inyan of Yer the Umnus Chaveray, both in the inyan Agada Shabai from the Gemara in Sanhedrin and the Magos Tudrin Gemara is about the Agadic element of the Yer the Umnus Chaveray, going into someone else's business. We mentioned the Rambam in Hilchos Deos by Don Hagel with Tamil Chacham. And that's, by the way, an important note to make. Shulchan Aruch HaRav, again, I didn't bring it with me now, but Shulchan Aruch HaRav, he has in the sixth or seventh volume, nowadays it's four volumes, in the fourth volume, he has a relatively small area of Hilchos of Chayshe Mishpat, but he jammed into there in a concentrated form the halach lemaisa, the practical parts of Chayshe Mishpat. As someone even put out, maybe 10, 15 years ago, a large work, somewhat Mr. Brewer style, but rather extensive in its research, called Imre Yaakov, on the Kids of Shulchan Aruch, I'm sorry, on the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, of the Chayshe Mishpat of it, and it really incorporates into there, come on, all of halach lemaisa in the Chayshe Mishpat, and the practical, what we have to do and what we shouldn't do. It's an excellent work and a brilliant way of presenting it based on Shulchan Aruch HaRav. Shulchan Aruch HaRav, anyway, over there, he says that even those areas in which we're going to pass on halacha that Yerud Umnus Chavero is mutter, but Lefnim Rishus HaDin, a person should be more machra on it. And that's the Agadic part that we mentioned last week from those Gemaras that show that there's a Lefnim Rishus HaDin kind of area of Chumrah. But first of all, before we get to talk about that type of application, which Mishum is going to come back into relevance, we first have to get the halacha guidelines of the Ikra Din before we talk about Lefnim Rishus HaDin. So last week we spoke about the Gemara in Kedushin, in Gittin, Daf Nun Tes and Daf Samach Aleph, about a Ani Menachi Rosh HaZayas, where he put in the effort, the work, of knocking down those olives from the tree that's Hefker, and they fall down on the ground, and really they're still Hefker, he didn't pick them up to make Maisa Kinyan on them. If he did, the Shulchan Aruch we saw says, then they belong to him, and to take it away is Mamash Gezel Gomer, the Raisa. But if he never made a Kinyan on it, he just snipped the twig that they were attached to, and they fall down to the ground, He never made a ma'isakinyan on it. So really it's hefker. But Alpha Bikan, the Mishnah over there, says that it's gezel midivrehem, midnedar kishalom. It's not gezel gomer that we're motzi midin, but that it's usher, we deal with it like it would be gezel. And that's a, like an av malacha that we gebil told us on. That's an av of the concept that when a person has a tircha that he puts into making something available for profit, then he has a first right to get that profit from it, and not so much to come along and scoop up that profit and take it away from him, when it's a product of his tircha that he worked on to produce. And that's going to be relevant both to competitive situations as well as to when we're going to get to this Chuyos Yetzirim, the patent copyright type of discussions, where there was something that was a creative effort that took a lot of work and probably often expense in order to be able to produce. And then for someone else to go take the profit from that is like taking the olives that I knocked down and made them available for someone to gather and to sell and profit from them. I think I mentioned to you once this case about the Borough Park Flatbush van service, which is it's a direct outgrowth of the same Mishnah, where so that someone advertised that he's making a van service, let's say going on the hour from point A in Borough Park to point B in Flatbush. And there's, instead of having car services and waiting for someone to come taxi you and it costs more, here every hour on the hour you go to whatever 14th and 54th, whatever the spot is, and you get a car service that takes you to a central point in, I don't know, Avenue P in Coney Island, whatever the details were. And he had bus stops and he had routes and he had schedules printed up and people would come. So another Chevron comes along with his van at 5 minutes before the hour. Anyone want to go to Flatbush? Mm-hmm. Fills up his van and off he goes. So I didn't steal anyone. They don't belong to him. Everyone that comes out there on the hour is welcome to still go with the second van. But of course, most people are there 5 minutes in advance. And what am I doing? I'm reaping the olives that the first guy knocked down, because without his advertising and setting up, that's what gathered the people to be over here, ready to now service them and therefore to be able to make a living on that. Someone else is now coming to reap the product of my efforts, my work product, that is Oni Menachem Rosh Hazayis. The second place that this comes up in Shas is this Gemara in Bava Basra. This Gemara in Bava Basra, Daf Chaf Aleph on Beis, is a packed sugya on the topic. We're going to just isolate some pieces of the sugya that are really the most relevant in halacha. And these are the building blocks that with the concepts that we need, the Oni Menachem Rosh Hazayis, and a couple of things that we're going to learn from this Gemara over here in Bava Basra, which are prerequisites, are necessary in order to be able to have a meaningful discussion about when you could compete properly. And before we even talk about the intellectual property issues. If I have a steady client that I service in whatever, as a mechanic, as an accountant, as a insurance agent, whatever kind of services I offer, and I've been doing this for them for many years, and if someone else comes along and wants to go and take that same client away and offer him some thing to attract him away from him, when is that mutter and when is that not? And likewise, if I'm a steady supplier, I sell, I don't know, school supplies to the different schools here in town, and there's a limited list of that we all know the most of, and they all have constant needs of school supplies, and office supplies, paper supplies, etc. And someone's been having that contract for years doing it. Someone else wants to hop it away from them. What are the rules or coming in from out of town and competing with a local kind of person? This is directly what the sugya focuses on. The manifestations in practical situations are very great and numerous. But we first have to have the building blocks to be able to have a meaningful discussion. So let's take a look at Gemara now on page 1 of tonight's handout. Gemara says, "Mavasukavala from an Amabez Amravuna, Hai Bar Mavua. a person that lives in a mavui. A mavui is something that we don't really have any comparison to nowadays, but let's call it a neighborhood. In those days, if you go to Meir Sharm, you'll still see the mavuis, that you'll have the little gesel achol coming in a chotzer and a Bunti Hungarin or Bunti Strauss. And you have a go in, you go over into one entryway, and then you have these whole maze and myriad of little developments, of little buildings atop of buildings, and they all empty out into one area. And that was probably made from different people or groups of people when they settled there. So that's a mavui. In the Gemara's cases, it was a mavui she'ena mefulash, a dead end street, where chatzeros would then surround that, and in each chatzer you had batim, but then they all shared this common area. Possibly it would be the equivalent, we don't really have a good equivalent of it nowadays. Let's call it a neighborhood. Hai bar mavua de'uki rechaya, that he sets up his mill factory with a millstone, rechayim, and he offers the services of grinding your grain into flour or renting out the facility and you could do your own grinding. And that's his business. Also bar mavua chavre, another neighbor that lives in that same mavui, the same area, says, I see this is a good business. I'm going to go into it as well. Likewise, if you have a shoe store, I'll open another shoe store. You have whatever kind of a shop that sells or gives services, I'm going to now duplicate the same. You have the Staples, I'll make an Office Depot next to it. Every Staples in America, there's a Office Depot within one block. Right? Staples does a huge amount of research of geographically where the most profitable place to do it. And Office Depot spends zero on that. Whatever Staples does, I'm one within one block. That's their policy. But this, so I want to do the same. I'm just going to follow you. You'll figure out where all the different business considerations, where the best place to make a rechayim. And I think right next door will be the best place. So Rav Huna says, Dinahu, the din is, the ma'ake bilave, but the first one is able to stop the second one. The Amalek, as he can say, Kapaskas lele chiyusi, you're being mafsik my chiyus, you're taking away my livelihood, my ability to earn a living. People come over here, they get their milling done by me. You want to have another mill? Do it somewhere completely different. You'd service a different clientele, a different neighborhood, a different area. But over here, you're going to take away from mamash the bread out of my mouth. You're going to take away my way of earning money. I have a right to stop you. Now, why does Rav Huna hold that you have a right to stop him? That the reason to stop the Shani is left over here unexplained. I didn't see any of them before someone explained it. Why is it? Based on what? You're Goslin, you're Mazik, I have a chazakah on the on this these customers belong to me. I mean, it's a free country. Why would Rav Huna hold like this? We'll see soon that we don't pass like Rav Huna. Or at least we don't pass like Rav Huna entirely. We pass like Rav Huna maybe only in limited situations. But there's a concept that he's introducing of the svara of kapaskas le chayusi. You're taking away my livelihood, my business, some kind of entitlement, some kind of rights I established by the fact that I'm first one here. Seems that he would say that he supports the concept of monopoly. Whoever's the first one over here to have a shoe store, no other shoe store is around.
It doesn't exactly say it. It sounds like there's some sort of you're taking bread out of someone's mouth.
Any time if I have a shoe store, I'm taking that as an example, it could be any kind of business.
Well, if you have a shoe store with 20 branches, then
I have a shoe store at this mavui. So anyone that lives in this neighborhood, when they want shoes, they come to me. Now, if they want to live on the other side of town, they can go to another shoe store.
So they might not apply when you have a shoe store with 20 branches and someone.
But let's speak on small terms. So I'm a local makolet, and I still sell groceries to the people on the street.
Right, so and now that's your only source of income.
That's my source of income.
So someone
and now someone else right now on the corner diagonally opposite me is going to open up another makolet.
Right, so that don't apply, but it wouldn't necessarily. It doesn't mean all monopoly is.
Not across the world, but in this area, we'll have to define what areas are. Within the whatever area that I have right to say, this is my area.
But it sounds from the Lashon, literally, it sounds like it's some sort of din that you're taking away someone's whole parnassa in that way.
That's right.
Multiple sources of income. What if they're not
similar? Or with multiple sources of income, you know, or multiple stores.
That might be a good question. The Gemara doesn't address it directly. There is a discussion on this. The Pesachei Tshuva, this is in Kuf Nun Vav. All these lachas are in Kuf Nun Vav and Chayesh Mishpat. The Pesachei Tshuva has a lengthy piece, Gimel, and he brings down a Chassam Sefer, who's of the opinion that even though he's independently wealthy, he's a millionaire, he has 20 stores elsewhere, different kind of businesses, but this source of income, you're going to now close down. I have a right to have this source of income. I've established this over here. Maybe this is my to support my kids in Kyle, or whatever it is. This is my other home. Whatever it might be, Samson was not worried about that. He says, that's still Pascha's Lechiusei, regardless. He says, he holds it's not dependent on the fact that without this, I'm going to starve to death. Right? You don't have to be so extreme like that. That's I saw in the Chassam Sefer. Basically, Shiva doesn't bring someone that disagrees, but I'm trying to think right now. Someone does disagree with that. But then we'll come back across it. But over here, in whatever setting it is, we don't have a clear, but in Gemara's terms, the geography is a mavli. That's a closed area where there's 10 families or 75 families in the different chatzeros around this mavli, depending on how many chatzeros and how many batim there are. But there's this limited population over here. And I'm right now the local makola serving the groceries or the shoe store giving them shoes or for all the little kids and their sneakers or the rechaim to do their milling or whatever else the service or sales that I provide. You now going to come along over here and compete with me. I have a right to have a monopoly within this district, within this limited area. That's Rav Huna. I don't believe it's a inyan of gezel or mazik on any kind of drastic level, but it's a svara that he held, therefore, that the Rabbanu enacted, and we'll see soon, it's going to be a mechalikus tanoim, that is a din Rabbanu that we are masaking. And we'll see that these Tekonis Rabbanines have guidelines that they take on. So Gemara says to this, Leima Masaile. Gemara attempts to bring a raya to Rav Huna, from a brisa, where the brisa says, "Marchikim mitzudas hadag min hadag." Kamali reads as hadag. If you have a fisherman number one has spotted a fish that now he's targeting to catch. Let's say it's a especially big fish, a big whatever tuna fish that he wants to now catch, and he says the other ones, "Stay away, guys. There's a big ocean out there. Go fish somewhere else." So we say, Merchikim Mitzudas Hadag. The other fishermen have to keep their nets away min hadag from the fish that I'm right now already actively pursuing. Kamali reaches dog to the distance that a dog circulates and travels back and forth. Bakama, how far is that? And Rabuhuna ad Parsa. That's the whatever kind of fish we're talking about. That's its range of travel. So therefore, when the first fisherman establishes himself right now involved, actively pursuing and wanting to have that source of livelihood, someone else has to stay out, go somewhere else. So the Gemara wants to make a parallel. So the same way, if I already have my shoe store or my makolet or my rechayim in this area, so I'm already now going after the fish, which are the customers that come to those places over here in this particular Mavoy neighborhood. And if you want to go fishing for your customers, go somewhere else. Rashi explains, Tzayin shenasan eina bedug, achahikr choro. There's a science to it. You have to locate the home, the nesting place, the traveling place, the hunting area, and they have certain ranges in which they travel back and forth from where they go seeking their food, or where they go back to feeding their young, or breeding, or whatever what they call their homes. And now I figured out this area where this school of minnows or where this big, gigantic, whatever, gefilte fish that I want to catch over here is. I've now figured it out. Hikir Chairo, Shinasan Aino Bidog Aja Hikir Chairo, which took him out of study. Maybe it took me 2 days to figure this out. So then Marchigan Sharts Yadam Masudo Seyam, Misham, everyone else has to stay away, go somewhere else. Alma. So from that, Rashi said, you see, Even though the first fisherman hasn't yet made an actual kinyan, acquired, it's not yet his fish, it's not yet in his net, he hasn't yet caught it, still mershi, mar marchikin, why? Mishum to amalei kapaskas l'chiyusi. Must be the Rav Huna's taina is a good taina. I have a right to have a livelihood when I put in this much effort in, I'm this far along, I already set up my rechayim, and this is where I'm going to expect to get the fish to come to me, then you go fish somewhere else. More answers, no. You can't bring a rye from here to Rav Huna. Because shiny dog, in that case of the fish is different. The Yavi Asayara, a cryptic, mysterious word. There's about maybe a half a dozen, at least four, different Pirushim in the Rishon of what those words mean. And each one takes in a different direction halakhically. We'll go with Rashi. What does it mean, the Yavi Asayara? Rashi says, Nosim Ayin, the fish, have good keen eyes. They figure out where there's food to be had, whether it's with their eyes or with their smell or whatever other ways they have of detecting it. And when they find out and they pass along the message that there's some food to be found, they go get it. Hilkach. Kaman shehikar zecharo, as Rashi said beforehand, that he already figured out the nesting place and the range of travel and the hunting place of this fish. He knows its range of travel. And now Rashi's adding, the Gemara is now adding another element to it. He put bait food down over there. They call it chumming. Little fish bits or breadcrumbs or whatever it might be that's used to attract the fish to come over here. So he's done the study, the research. He's done now the priming the trap by getting the bait in the right place. That's going to attract the fish. But he now has a reasonable assurance that he's going to catch this fish. And on a drabonic level, we're able to look at it now as though he already caught it. He hasn't actually caught it, but it's as good as caught. Because it's going to be. He's already got the whole thing figured out. He's got everything in place. And that fish doesn't know what he's headed for the frying pan. He's already as good as caught. Therefore, once we're willing to look at that, because he's already done that effort and studying it and baiting it and bringing it and having right to say his batuach that he's going to get it, we can now say it's commander Matsuyori will now award it to him as though it's his, even though it's not yet really his, but it's as though it's his. But nimzachaber maziko, and then for someone else come along over here, and to catch it, or even to scare it away, is taking away something. Otherwise, I was going to make business off of, and you're taking that away from me. This is not just people going out for sport fishing to be able to spend an afternoon just wasting their day. This is my that's my profession. That's why I sell fish and I make my living and I feed my children. So Rashi, but the alternative to Rav Huna's argument by the Rechaim, if we're not going to support him from here, and la halacha, we're not going to go with Rav Huna. The reason we don't go with that is because we could say Misha ba etzli yavo, Misha yavo etzlecha yavo. You don't have anything caught yet over here. And whoever wants to come will come. The hashkacha will run your parnasa, and whatever you're supposed to get, you're supposed to get. I'm not going to be taking away anything that you already have. So, if you already have a customer in your store, and you're already dealing with him, and now I'm going to go and say, psst, come over here, I'll give you a better deal. Or send him a text message, right? Come over here, I'll give you 20% better, right? Meet any prices. So then I'm taking Mamash away if he's in your net. He's already, you have him there. You're already baiting him. You're already negotiating him. You're ready to make the sale, the catch, right? So that I can't do. But when he's not yet in your store, you're not yet handling with him. You haven't entered a negotiation with him. He's walking down the street. He could go to your store. He could go to my store. So that is fair play. You don't have yet the elements that you have of the Yavi Saira. So the elements of Yavi Saira are A, the preparatory study, and B, the baiting and putting down the mazonos that's going to attract the fish, that adds up that with that 2 + 2 = 4, that's patuach hushiel kedenu, that gives them a reasonable reliability of being able to make the sale, to make this catch, then we consider Rabbanan to have like a man of Madal Yad as though it's already his, and therefore it's also for someone else to take it away from him. This is a stage more than simply an Ani Mahabib Harara, where I show an express interest that I do want to get it, or I might want to get it, I'm considering getting it, but I haven't yet made efforts to make it Dafka come to me. I'm looking into it. Do I want it? Maybe I do, maybe I don't. But I haven't brought it into being. Over here, I brought this fish out of its core by putting down the mazonos, and Dagim Yavi Saira, the Dagim put out their sights and they look and see, and that's why he's coming over here now. Why is he out in the open? Why is he not over there, over there in between the rocks where you can't catch it with a net? Because if I put the bait over here, he comes out in the open, and then I can swoop in and get him. So I put down the fish, I put down the bait, he comes out of the open, and you swoop in and get him. That's Ani Menachem Barosh Hazayas. That's going back to be trying to take away the profits from the first person's efforts. And therefore, by the case of the Dagim, it'll be Usser, for the second guy to fish in the same waters. But in the case of the Rechayim, it'll be Mutter. Right? The Gemara over here is just saying in terms of not having a raya to Rav Huna, not that they were slugging him up, but we are already setting the stage to show why we're going to accept in other cases and yet not in Rav Huna's own case, because it's not a product of your own efforts to bring this about, like by the case of the Dagim or the Zaysim, while over here it's simply that you're ready to go get it, I'm also ready to go get it, but I don't bring the customers out of their houses. People do need to grind their chitim and sorim into kemach. And therefore, I wasn't the cause, and my tircha is not what brought down these zaysim or brought out these fishes from their chor. And therefore, it doesn't belong to me. It's not a command of Madal Yadei. That is the beginning of the sugya, which gives us a concept of kaposkas l'chiyusi, but the Gemara is the maskana is only going to be accepting it when that's a work product, when that's a product of my efforts that I made to bring that about. Just right now, just to summarize the discussion of Tosa, I think we've already had this discussion beforehand. The Dutch two Tosas, the one Tosa over here on location, by Basra, and the other Tosa in Kedushin by the Sugya of Ani Mahabib Harara, which we've already discussed at length, I think three weeks long, is that we are familiar with Machlokes Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam Shita is that Ani Mahabib Harara only applies when it's something that first one could tell the second one to get, you could get somewhere else. So then why going over where I'm here? Go somewhere else, don't bother me. But when I can't get it somewhere else, then it's fair game, it's not mine. The first one's yet, the second one's allowed to get it as well. So Tosas then has a problem, Rabbeinu Tam has a problem for this Gemara over here, where I can't just say, get another fish, this is a special catch. So it's not so easy to say that. So why over here can I say that you can't come and fish over here? So that's Tosas Rabbeinu Tam has a problem over here. I think we described there's a number of different truths into this kasha. Either by saying, Enochinami, there are plenty of other fishes, there's the big ocean out there. So go do the study and research and find another one to come out of his core. Terrace number one. Terrace number two is to say that when it's Yari Lu'umnasai, it's different, and that's Rav Huna's concept over here of Paskas L'chiyusi, in which case we're not going to pask like it. And terrace number three is in the paragraph that starts over here, Tosin Gedushin. Let's see this right now inside, in the middle of that paragraph. Vod Omer Rabbeinu Meir, Avish Rabbeinu Tam. We spoke this out another time, but let's see it again. Rabbeinu Tam and Rashbam's common father, they were brothers, their father, Rabbeinu Meir, son-in-law of Rashi, says, Demayr B'dog Meis, he has a little bit different definition of the Dogim B'yayvasayra. According to Rashi, Dogim are the fish that I'm trying to catch. Yavi Saira, they look out for bait that I put down to attract them. Therefore, I'm one that attracting them out. Therefore, they're my fish rightfully. You go get some other fish. Ben Tom, or its father, Ben Meir, says a little bit differently. The Meir Bedug Mace, over here, the dog that we're talking about is the bait fish. That you put a small dead fish there to be able to attract the big fish to come and swallow him up. Maybe he's on a hook and line. Maybe he's in a place where there's going to be a net. I don't know. Shekain derech hadayagam lahasim mitzudas dogin nets. They put a dog mace, but hadogim and the other fish or whole school of small fish, little minnows are going to come along. Misasim shem sova osa dog. They're going to now come and congregate and be attracted by the fish that I put down for bait. But kain which is a pirish ta mitzudas otchila. And since the first one, by putting that down, is taking those first steps of this process, and it's only through his efforts that he's bringing the whole group, or the whole school of fish that's going to be collecting over there. Then if he would come along the second one, it's like stealing from the first one. He uses the lashon of stealing from him. Rashi uses the lashon of being mazik him. And then Rabbeinu Tam, according to his shita, would say, go do it somewhere else, don't do it over here. So Rabbeinu Meir, as well as Rashi, seem to, in principle, teach this Gemara about Dagim along the same lines as the Ani Menachem Rosh Hazayas, which is when it's a work product, when it's the effect of my efforts, then that establishes a Darki Shalom, the Rabbanan Dika, first rights. And I write to him, okay, the second one, don't come along over here and compete with me. He's explaining the shiny dog of Yavi Saira, which is the difference between Mitzuda's dogim versus Rameir's din, versus Ravuna's din. Ravuna, you don't have this element of, it's a product of my work. Right? I'm not the one that's creating these customers. Customers need to have their...
The cash on it from Rabbeinu Tam wasn't on the...
Let me read it then properly inside. The Tosas is Kasha is from the Mitzudas Hadogim. Miu Kasha. After Rabbeinu Tam says his thesis, not like Rashi, about the Darvish Hefker, there's no time of Anima Bakrara, it's only by a Mecha Bemkor Skiris that you can find somewhere else. Miu Kasha, Mahita Periklo Yachbar, Alchofal, Hobazim, Abbasar, Kamra Hassam, Rachika, Minadog, Mali, Rizadog, Valpisha, Hushal Hefker. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, why should be us over there? So the one Teretz says over there, it's because it's Yerulum Nasai, which would be similar to Rav Huna's original statement of Haim Baravud Ugi Rechaya. And therefore, by the Dogim also, you could understand it as terms of an umnus, and that therefore we make a takana to protect a person when he's doing something that's professional. An ani, mimalakit, and a chrora is not his umnus, and therefore we don't make a takana to protect him. But when something becomes a rechayim or a fisherman's livelihood, you can pass as a chiyusi, that's a different category. That's terrace number one. Terrace number two, va'odon Rabbeinu Meir of Shul Rabbeinu Tam, that with the kasha that you're asking, imiu kasha from the case of Marchikim a dog, which is Darvish al Hefker and doesn't seem to fit with Rabbeinu Tam's rules. Zokta Rabbeinu Meir, that's different because it's a product of my efforts. The Marim a dog may shaken the derech of them, and then became which is a perish man sudasai, va'ayde maize shahasa zem, b'sasim sham sav, saviv, vade, hoya chavero, havakila gozo, v'yachal armlo. You go do it somewhere else. So that's how he's explaining the case of Mitzudas Hadog, why it's Usser. He's not directly going on Rav Huna. The first Teretz borrowed Rav Huna to explain Mitzudas Hadog. Rabbeinu Meir is not looking at Rav Huna at all or that Mahalach. He's not saying it's a matter of umnus. He's saying it's a matter of a product of my Tircha, of my Maisa.
It can't be that he's saying even Rav Huna requires...
He's not going in Rav Huna. His lakasha was from the case of Merchikin. The reason he didn't ask him Rav Huna, because we don't ask Rav Huna. So you can't ask a kasha on a bein' tam
ravuna. That's what it goes to, right?
Okay. Because of time constraints, I'm not going to right now go through the rest of the sugya over here. You're welcome to do so. The bottom of page number one, the Gemara goes on and says that it's machlekes tanayim, and that Rav Huna lines up with Rav Shimon Gamliel, but who says that you have right to be ma'akev on him. But the Rabbanon say, l'shkeinu eino kofeyo, to a local person, you can't stop him from doing so. Now the fact that you can't stop l'shkeinu eino kofeyo, Rav Shimon Omer av l'shkeinu kofeyo, at the end of the next last paragraph on the bottom of page one, as Dr. Rashi over there, Rav Huna d'amar k'Rav Shimon Gamliel. So he would hold that even though he's a shachain, I can still stop him. That we don't pass like Rav Huna, we pass like the Tanakama. And the Tanakama would say that although I have a right to stop a foreigner, a person that doesn't live in this area from doing biz over here, because then there's a logical reason. I do my biz over here because this is where I live. You don't live over here, so why are you doing your business over here? Do it where you live. So then there we'll be able to accept Rav Huna's svara. In other words, what's happening over here is that the Chacham have to make a balance between the needs of the one person and the other. Right, if we're both local people over here, we both need to have parnasa. We both live right here. For both of us, it's most convenient to be able to do it right out of our own place. So you're equal to me. On that, we're going to say that l'shkeinu eino kofeyo. But when you're not local, when you live in a different area, however the areas are going to be defined, then I have a greater need to do it over here because this is where I live. You don't have that. You could just as well go somewhere else. Wherever you live or any other place you're going to pick, we're not where you live. Why should Dafka pick where I am living, where you're not living over here? So then protecting the first person takes precedence over welcoming another person who could go somewhere else. Similar to the Svara of Adim HaPakrara, but you're going where I am, you could go somewhere else just as well. There's a Sisa, a Yashivar Tov kind of concept, which over here becomes legislated into halacha as being there for something like Ma'akev, and halachically take you to Bezin, stop you and put a ban that you're not allowed to open up the store over here and close you down. You can't have a Rechaim over here when you're not going to be local. The Gemara has definitions over here of local and not local. Pashtus, the rule is a bar masa and not a bar masa. Halacha, we're not going to actually go with the mavui, which anyway doesn't really apply in our contemporary situations. But a bar masa and not a bar masa does. A bar masa, someone that's from Ben Ear, a local person that lives in this city, has the right to do business in the city. And our businesses nowadays are community-wide. I don't know how much of our businesses frequents, Dundalk or Glen Burnie, whatever. But in our community, which spreads in the northwest area of, including all the way out to Owings Mills, people live over there, come in to shop in our stores over here in the Park Heights corridor, Ryston Road, etc. That's where we do our business, our circle of business. Extends also to Columbia, and to other neighboring places where, if the normal course of their business, where they go to the bakery, where they go to the grocery, where they go to the cleaners, the cleaners just go to a grocery place on the street, where you go to a Hebrew bookstore, where you go to get your talus or your sterling silver, or other sort of things that the community merchants offer, they come over here. That's our circle of business. People from Silver Spring or Philadelphia or Lakewood or Muncie or New York, their circle of business over here is not Baltimore. And therefore, they have no right to be doing the business over here. And so they were going to make a restriction. But then we're going to have to ask the same question that we asked back on Rav Huna. Why can't the guy from out of town say, what, this belongs to you? I'm stealing those customers are yours? What do you mean they're yours? The same question we had on Rav Huna. And the same answer is going to be is that this is where the Chacham are going to come in and make a takana about what the proper, fair, and considerate takana should make. How should we set up the sisa yashiratov in business settings? On the one hand, we want to protect the local merchants. We want to make them viable. The Shomer Shabbos should be able to get business. That's something that always should be encouraged. You should patronize Shomer Shabbos businesses. Maybe we'll talk about that more. The Jews around Ramadan's coming up. Patronize our own. The Torah tells us we should buy and sell and do it with our own, support our own, rather than department stores or whatever other non-Jewish sources. We want to support the merchants, but on the other hand, when the other person has a reasonable right to come in over here, then we have to balance that as well. Now, there is that element over here which we're not going to deal with, which is karga. You'll see it in the Gemara, and in Shulchan Aruch also mentioned, and that is if you pay into local taxes. That, I believe, has no relevance nowadays at all, because in the old days, there used to be a taxation upon a community, and everyone that participated in that bore some of the load that the whole community had to bear. While in Maryland, if I pay my Maryland taxes or don't pay Maryland taxes, it doesn't help anyone else here in the community pay more or less taxes. I pay my real estate taxes to Baltimore City, exaggerated taxes of those that live in the city. If I do or if I don't, it's not going to help you. It's not community responsibility. It's individual responsibility. So whether it's mutter or not to be able to finagle your way out of not paying, that doesn't define who's a member of the community, and therefore that element does not apply.
Apply where the goods or services you're offering are not.
Okay, I'll quickly right now in the remaining to turn to page 2, the top paragraph. We'll just do this for today. There's so much more to discuss over here, but at least we're getting some of the fundamentals. The top Ramah on this page is in over there, Chayshim Bishop Kovdun Vav Siv Zion says, Yeshayimrim, Hadim Neir Yechal Alimchaz Uv Neir Acheres, that which we could prevent out of towners from coming to do business over here. Hadim Davka Berlech Abseda Lukuchais. That's only we're going to support the merchants if it's not going to be at the expense of the consumers. Dahainu, Shemerchim Gishar B'nei Ya'ir, they want to come over here and do something very similar to what anyway is happening over here and have another Rechaim or shoe store or whatever. V'gam Skarosa Manitoba Yoz Mishal HaB'nei Ya'ir, so in their prices and their quality, they're pretty much the equivalent. No two things are going to be precisely exactly, but basically they're the same. So then there's no reason that we should allow from the out-of-town. Aval imnos nim yosir bazol, but if the out-of-towners are going to be able to come over here, the man with the truck in one day is going to be able to unload and sell things with no overhead. And therefore he's going to sell at huge discounts from the normal stores over here. Oshahoya yosir taiva, or qualitatively, it's a whole different line of product that normally isn't available, but over here it's going to be this high-end, whatever it might be, a greater quality. So then either in quality or in price, there's a distinct advantage now of this out-of-towner doing his business over here. Oz nenen halokha mehem, then the balance goes in favor of the supporting the consumer market rather than the local merchants. And we don't want to support the merchants at the expense of the consumers. And then, then the merchants local can't stop the out-of-towner, the non-local, the foreigner, from doing business over here because the market will benefit from having better prices or better quality items. And he concludes also, each one of these has sources and discussion that we've shown him, but this is just cutting down to the bottom line of it. If it's a different line, different quality of product, even though it's not distinctly better or cheaper, but it's a variety. It's pistachio instead of just chocolate and vanilla. So now a different type of in clothing or in paper goods or in you name what you want, different kind of shoes, whatever it might be. Which otherwise wasn't available beforehand. People like variety. It's not better price-wise or quality-wise. That's also an advantage. So three distinct advantages then are in variety, price, or quality that are different than beforehand. Then we're going to give an advantage to the consumer benefit rather than the protection of the merchants, and that's going to therefore trump it. But if it's equal, then we're going to say you can't just duplicate what's over here. If you're not local,
can a local establishment bring on what this competitor from outside may want to bring in? In other words, if so and so has nicer shoes outside or a different variety, different brand, can and the fellow who's local bring in those, that same shoe line, and then
say there's no more reason for the foreigner to do it. That's probably going to be the difference. If you don't have that foresight beforehand, then he gets his permission to come over here, and then you want to copy that. So he's going to say the only reason that now you're affording that to the local people is because I'm here. So you see already my benefit for them. So that's why he keeps you on your toes. That's the advantage of competition. And
sort of non-simple commodity.
What's the answer?
Any commodity. Anything is not a commodity.
It sounds like if you haven't yet done it beforehand and he brings it in, then he gets his green light, his license to be here, then you can't cut him off afterwards.
But who gives him that green light? Like, you beat him before the green light. If you hear he's coming, can you go ahead and bring in a line?
Yes, before he opens up, the day before he opens up, if you now have the thing that you go to the Besdin or the bottom and say, what's the advantage? He has that, I have it already also.
Once he comes, can you bring that line?
He doesn't have an exclusive on that line, so you can have it also, but then he already got his license to be here. We don't find, I'm not aware of that I could now go to remove that license from him.
There's so many different products now that anything that's not like flour or doing one product, it just seems like so easy to show that you're different than the previous store.
Well,
everyone has a different way of doing business.
I guess I'll be a shikla das whether it's really just the same thing, and there's all the national brands everyone's going to carry, and the local brands are just generics of the same thing. You just put it on your label, I put my label on it, so it's same apple juice. I guess that would be a shikla das, and also if you have a store, let's say a grocery store that has so many different products, so. He's going to be cheaper in X amount, but you need to go pair to compare different supermarkets. They're this little bit this and a little bit here and this little bit, but basically altogether it adds up to be pretty much the same. It has to be like pretty much across the board that one is known to be lower or better or different. Then that would be the heterogeneity to do it. Okay, there's just so much more to talk about it. We're getting, but we are making progress. So Merchem to be continued. Yared Omnis, number 3 next week. We're not done yet. We have a long way to go.